unless something changes next.
Welcome to the Board of Supervisors meeting, September the 18th, 2018. Is there any changes?
I have none.
I have none.
I have none. We do have one here, the 9:30 work session with the Washington National Supplement has been canceled and moved to September the 25th.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Meet with department heads and election officials. Terry Johnson.
Good morning.
Diane Auger.
Ballots have been ordered, we haven't gotten them yet. Of course, they won't be available for voting until October the 8th. And yesterday, Monday's pile, there was a pretty good stack of absentee request forms, so they are starting to roll in pretty good, so. And that's about it.
Mike Johnson, County Sheriff.
Just have an agenda item, that's all.
Rodney, how's the maintenance department?
Good morning, we're doing okay. Yesterday's power outage kind of presented a few challenges here and there, but they got to test all the battery backups and generators, so we're just kind of dealing with a few minor issues we had from that. And that's not the major report.
Okay, thank you. Chris DeCoyweller, Health, County Health Nurse.
Good morning, yeah, we're just keeping busy at the Health Department. We started doing flu vaccines, so we're going to start setting up different clinics. Last week, we had our Board of Health meeting, and we received, we lost our backup for our environmental when Henry County no longer has an environmental specialist. And so we have received a 28E agreement from Russ, who's interested in being our environmental services backup. And we've also received an MOU from Lee County. And so I've taken that to the Board of Health, and they recommended to bring it to the Board of Supervisors and consider a work session to look at that and decide which MOU or 28E we would like to proceed with.
Okay, that, we'll maybe get together here after the meeting, and we'll set a date for that.
Okay.
You want that pretty quick, like, don't you?
Yes, currently we don't have a backup, so whenever would be okay with the board would be great.
We have work session next week, gentlemen?
Works for me.
Work for you, Bob?
Yeah.
Why don't we just plan on next week after our meeting?
Oh, okay, all right. Would you like?
I'd like to have Bruce Hudson here, too.
I thought you'd jump right on that.
Okay. I will get ahold of Bruce and have him here for the work session. Thank you.
Thank you. Angie, Safety Committee.
Good morning. I don't have much to announce. Things are going well. We're doing stress management training this month, which I think is going very well, but we all could use some.
How come you're looking at me when you say that?
All of us, me too.
How's the IT department doing, Colin?
Pretty good. Had a pretty eventful day there yesterday, but overall, I don't really have anything new to report, so.
Rodney pretty well took care of that, going that alley for you, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's good. Ken, how's the Seal Region CDS director doing?
Going well. We have another management team meeting on Thursday this week. We're supposed to have Julie Jeter from the state coming in to talk with us at the management team, so that'll be interesting to see what she has to say. Nothing else to report at this time.
Good, thank you. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Couple of updates, I guess, along the 61 project. 180th Street is closed now. It was supposed to close a couple of weeks ago, but with the rain, things got pushed back. So it did go closed, and I don't know for sure how long it'll be closed, so we'll guess we'll find out. But they're, as we speak, paving the temporary connection for the Seven Ponds Road connector. So they will, once they get that paved and open, they'll move traffic over onto that so that the old one can be torn out and regraded. So that's going on, and I think the paving contractor will hang around and pave Plank Road, and then we'll also probably pave Flint Bottom Road, and I'll mention that, too. It sounds like next Monday, The 24th is when they're targeting closure for that. So that'll change everybody's, in that area, everybody's route for 3 or 4 weeks. So, and then we eventually have a contractor coming to do asphalt, but we still haven't heard a solid date yet on that. So I'll let you know when I know more. So otherwise things are moving along. Iowa City Road's coming along good. They're laying rock on the north section now.
Very good.
So they're making progress.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Yep. Chris Lee, the Conservation Department.
Hi, good morning. Our Flint River Trail project through Starks Cave is progressing nicely. We've got some nice weather here now. Hopefully we'll keep it. They're probably just rolling past the halfway point now. So we're cautiously optimistic that we'll see this done first part to middle of October. Get those trails up back up, part any weather.
Boat docks still out?
No. Boat ramps are still underwater, going to be underwater for a while. Sounds like we've got another shot of rain coming, so who knows if that's going to be the river. We'll keep an eye on it. If the river gets back down, we'll try to get them put back out for the duck hunters. Other than that, Big Hollow was full again this past weekend. I don't exactly know what to attribute that to, but we turned away 14 campers that pulled into the park, and I don't know how many people we told over the phone we didn't have any sites available yet. So it was a nice weekend. It was a little warm during the day, but it was cooling off really nice at night, so it's been a good camping weekend. We had a lot of people out. Busy.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Jared, how's the Southeast Iowa Regional Plan?
It's going pretty well. I haven't had a whole lot of activity in the Land Use Department in the last couple of weeks. We do have an item on the agenda today and another one in process at the moment. Staffing situation, somewhat of note, we've now got a full-time receptionist once again over at our office in West Burlington. So that's helpful for people coming in with land use inquiries that don't have an empty desk up there. But figure out how to work the call system for each staff member. So it's good to be able to be concerned about people coming in like that and not knowing what to do. So.
Good. Thank you. Okay, moving on. Correspondence. I have no correspondence here, and I don't have any. Do you have any?
No, I haven't.
Okay, public input station number one. Anybody from the public have anything to say? Please rise. State your name. What's that?
I'm sorry, moving
on. Jack Dalston. You guys all know who I am. I've been here a lot on the UTVs for the last few months. Just wanted to thank Mike especially for working with everybody. And remember, we gave you the petition a long time ago with the best part of 1,000 names and stuff. We know there's going to be people that are worried about things and that. I think you'll find in the end that it'll mellow out. I think that's what Loayza County found and stuff, that they didn't have the problems that people thought they were going to have, different ones. I know it's hard to make everybody happy and everything, but I think it seems fair to give the public the right that the farmers have to begin with and stuff. And there's always going to be problems. I was involved with moving a convoy of farm equipment yesterday. We take the whole road and everything, you know. There's just sometimes that it works out that way and stuff, that there's little inconveniences here and there to different things, but you've all heard comments and it's been going on for months and stuff. It seems like we've got pretty good support from a lot of people. But like I said, I know it won't make everybody happy. I just want to thank everybody for looking at it and working on it and stuff, and Mike here especially and stuff, and some of the other guys that have helped with it and stuff. I just wanted to put that in there.
Okay, thanks, Jack. Anybody else in the public have anything to say? Nobody rise. We shall move on for discussion of the vote. First item on the agenda, the public hearing for the first reading of the ATV UTV ordinance number 56.
Motion to open a public hearing.
Second. Barry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Put this up, pages, go ahead. Okay, this is ATV, UTV ordinance number 56. This is ordinance authorizing operations all parent and all authority sales of vehicle in the Boynton County, Iowa. Purpose, section one. Purpose of this ordinance is to identify regulations regarding ATV and UTV operation in Des Moines County secondary roadways. The ordinance does not relieve the operator's obligations, liabilities, and responsibilities to the safety and legal transfers of the county roadways. Section two, the designation of all parent vehicle or ATV is defined in Iowa Code section 321.1 means a motorized flotation tire or vehicle not less than three and not more than six non-highway tires that is limited in engine displacement to less than 1,000 cubic centimeters and a total dry weight to less than 1,000 pounds and has the seat or saddle designed to be straddled by the operator and handlebars for steering control. Off-road utility vehicles, UTVs, as defined in Iowa Code section 321.1 means a motorized vehicle with not less than four not more than eight non-highway tires, rubberized tracks, that has a seat that is a bucket or bench design, not intended to be straddled by the operator, and has a steering wheel for controls, levers for controls. Roadway means the portion of the highway approved, designed, and ordinarily used for vehicular travel. Section three. It is the intent of this ordinance to keep the ATVs and UTVs operation on Des Moines County paved roads to an absolute minimum. To that end, ATVs and UTVs may be operated on Des Moines County gravel public roads with exception of level C roads. ATVs and UTVs may make a direct crossing on Des Moines County paved roads in the event that there is not a permissible gravel public road off-site to the intersection of Des Moines County paved roads. ATVs and UTVs may operate on Des Moines County paved roads as far as the closest Des Moines County public gravel roads. The ATV and UTV will then exit the paved roads and operate on a gravel public road. Additional regulations are as follows. Such operation shall be allowed between the hours of 4 a.m. and 10 p.m. Every ATV and UTV, when operated at this time, sunset to sunrise, and at such other times when conditions such as fog, snow, sleet, rain, smoke, dust provide insufficient lighting to render clearly discernible persons and vehicles on the road distance of 500 feet ahead shall display lighted headlamps and tail lamps. A person shall not operate an ATV or UTV on Des Moines County roads unless the operator has a valid driver's license and is at least 18 years of age. Operation of ATVs with three wheels are prohibited. Operation of an ATV or UTV is only permitted on the roadway or shoulder, not in the ditch or in an area between the edges of the shoulder or the bottom of the ditch. All ATVs and UTVs will obey all rules of the roads as set forth by the Iowa Code section 321.285. Section 4, restrictions. A person shall not drive or operate an ATV or UTV, A, at the rate greater than 35 miles per hour, B, in the UTV without the use of seat belts, C, on an ATV with a passenger, D, in a careless, reckless, negligent manner as to endanger the person or property of another or to cause injury and damage hereto. E, in a manner that causes the ATV or UTV to skid or cause the wheels to lose contact with the road. F, under the influence of drugs or alcohol. G, without a properly functioning, unaltered factory exhaust muffler as defined in Iowa Code section 321.1.112. On private property without permission of the owner, is H, I, is in any designated as a native grass or wildflower planting area, J, on public land as designated riding trail in violation of official signs prohibiting such operations, K, on any public land, ice or snow, not expressly designated by sign as open to all terrain, and off-road utility vehicle operations. I, in any park, recreation area, wildlife area, preserve, refuge, game management and unless permitted by local governing authority and not only in the designated areas. Operation is permitted only where signage allows. M, any portion of the meandered stream or the bed of a non-meandered stream which has been identified as navigable stream or river by the Department of Natural Resources and which is covered by water. The provision does not apply to designated riding areas, designated riding trails, construction vehicles, endangered law activity.
N, in any tree nursery or planting in a manner which damages or destroys growing stock on any riding trail or area unless on any riding area or trail unless the trail is designated by sign is open to all terrain and off-road utility vehicle operation. ATVs and UTVs may only cross railroad right-of-way at designated crossings and shall observe all crossing safety requirements. Q, with more persons on the vehicle than it was designed to carry. R, on any levee under the jurisdiction of the Two Rivers Levee and Drainage Association without specific permission. 2, any person operating a UTV or ATV with a firearm in the operator's or passenger's possession shall abide by any applicable state laws during the time this ordinance is in effect. Section 5, registration requirements and conditions. Individuals who operate on roadways in Des Moines County must register the ATV or UTV with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, IDNR. The following conditions apply. 1, the owner of each ATV or UTV shall be required to provide proof of ownership, including but not limited to bill of sale, IDNR registration, or registration from appropriate out-of-state authority, and proof of liability insurance with a minimum coverage of $50,000 bodily injury per person, $100,000 bodily injury per accident, and $50,000 property damage. 2, ATVs and UTVs shall be required to be properly registered with the IDNR and display their current registration decals. The current registration certificate shall be carried on board. 3, ATVs and UTVs registered in another state are required to display their current registration decal and carry their certificate on board. No person shall operate an ATV, UTV on Des Moines County roadways unless the owner possesses a Des Moines County permit issued by the Des Moines County Recorder. The fee for this permit will be set by the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors by resolution. 1, ATV, UTV owners may apply for a permit by application at the County Recorder's office. 2, the County Recorder shall issue a permit only when the owner has provided the following. A, the operator is 18 years of age or older. B, proof that the ATV, UTV is currently registered with the Iowa DNR. C, proof that the owner and operator have liability insurance covering the operator of the ATV UTV on Des Moines County gravel roadways in the amount as described in section 5.1. 3, all permits shall be issued to a specific ATV UTV and receive a specific decal for that vehicle. The decal shall be affixed to the rear of the vehicle along with the current DNR decal so that it is clearly visible. 4, current DNR registration certificate must be carried on board. Five, permits will be good for 1 year and valid January 1st through December 31st. Anyone purchasing a permit for the first time in the last quarter of the current calendar year may purchase the permit through December 31st of the next calendar year for an additional $5. Six, the sheriff may suspend or revoke the permit upon evidence that the owner operator has violated the conditions of the permit or abused the privilege of being a permit holder. If the permit is suspended or revoked, there will be no refund for that permit fee. The operator must receive a majority vote of the Board of Supervisors to allow reinstatement of an existing permit or issuance of a new permit. Section 6, exempt vehicles and operators. This ordinance does not apply to any exemption under the Iowa Code for all-terrain vehicles and off-road utility vehicles operated pursuant to Iowa Code Section 32211.9, Government Farm Implements, of Iowa Code Section 321.234A.
incidental to and used for agricultural purposes, government, public utilities, licensed engineers, and licensed surveyors, or Iowa Code Section 352.2, 321L.14, paragraph 3, Section 3, paragraph B, farm operators. Penalties. Violation of this ordinance shall constitute a simple misdemeanor punishable by a minimum fine of $65, a maximum fine of $625, plus applicable surcharges and court costs, and or up to 30 days in jail.
Have any public comments on this? Yes.
My name is Irene Crossman. I live at the end of Boundary Avenue where it connects into Roosevelt Street. As most of you know here, that's a very well-traveled road. First of all, I'd like to thank Sheriff Johnstone for his work to keep the age limit at 18, but he and I both know that it's not just 18-year-olds or 16-year-olds, it can also be 25 or 35-year-olds that do not drive in appropriate manner. I have no problem with the farmers, the hunters, the person going to visit a friend using the roads. What I do have a problem and a concern with is that people that are non-residents of the county come out and park in the driveway of one of the roads and unload ATVs and use our road for joyriding. Sheriff Johnstone knows that in my location I have a large problem with regular vehicles, cars and pickups. Not only running the stop sign, but grown men that come up and stop at that stop sign and then skid through it with the gravel shooting everywhere and turning, you know, circles. My concern is, with those vehicles, I can get a license plate on a habitual offender, and I can turn it over to the sheriff's office. They may not be able to write them a ticket, but they do come and talk to those people and say, you know what, we've been notified of this kind of driving, and we're going to be watching for you. And that is deterrent. I see nowhere here that there's going to be any way for me to identify. You talk about a decal, and I'm wondering how large that decal is. Am I going to be able to see a number or some kind of identification on that utility vehicle as it spins around there in the middle of Boundary and Roosevelt? So if I have the same person doing that three or four times in a row, I'll be able to identify them and give a number to the sheriff's department. You can make, I mean, the rules sound impressive, and I am, you know, they do, but who's going to enforce the rules? Our sheriff's department right now is stretched thin. I don't see that we're adding anymore. So who, and there's so many county roads. Who's going to enforce the rules? And the other thing is that I don't think we address the passengers enough. You can say nobody under 18 can drive it, but you can't tell how old that person is when he drives up there and turns a kitty in the center. And what if he has two or three kids in there with him? And I'm not making this up. I've seen it. And so that's my concern. The rules sound good, and I know they've taken a lot of work, but my concern is number one, how am I going to identify the habitual offender, and how am I going to identify that offender to the sheriff's department?
Well, first off, I will say that with this ordinance, we have more control over the current law that we do. I mean, the regulations are more specific, and certainly we'll be able to impose, different regulations upon them that don't exist today. So the obviously what she's saying is it's a problem now. She's obviously seen it. I think with this ordinance, we're actually going to have better control over that than we do now. The other issue is identifying. We have the same issue with full-size trucks and cars. Plates are oftentimes hard to read, sometimes are misread. There's no guarantee that you're going to be able to get a good ID even on a vehicle with a plate. So it'll be up to an individual that does call in to get the best ID on the vehicle that they can. However, I know that's not always going to be possible. Any complaints will come through our office and we'll investigate them. So if you have a problem, all you got to do is call. Generally in our area, we can locate those vehicles. We have a pretty good idea who's operating them, especially if you know direction of travel. So if you happen to see them headed back to the east or to the west or back down boundary, I think again, in all cases they won't be operating that way. So the next case you may be able to identify them as they drive by at a normal speed. It's our intention to watch over this. This is new territory for us, new territory for everybody in the county, and I think it's a privilege that's been given to the people of Des Moines County. And I think that we need to understand that privilege can be taken away by the board and by regulations that we may find that don't work. We may find that we have a rash of accidents or people not paying attention to the time or the speed. This can all be taken away. This is a privilege that the board is giving to the people. So we hope that this goes over well, that people are careful. We do know there'll be accidents. We understand that because there's going to be more of these on the road. Unfortunately, that's going to be part of it. But when they first came to me about this, I was pretty hesitant about it because I just wasn't sure about it. I'm kind of like you. I've seen the same thing you've seen. I've seen them speed by my house at 60, 70 miles an hour. I've seen a lot of craziness out there. But this will actually give us more tools to deal with those kind of things. It really will. And speaking, right now there's 40 plus counties in the state that have some type of ATV, UTV ordinance. And to the last sheriff that I've talked to, and I haven't talked to all 40 of them, but I will tell you that each one of them have told me it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. And when I get that kind of response from people that I know and respect, fellow colleagues in the business, they say, yeah, it's kind of a different change. It's a different mindset. It's a new day for ATV and UTV ordinance. It really is. And they said, yes, there'll be incidents. Yes, there'll be crashes. Yes. But he said, overall, we just don't have any trouble with them. And even some of the biggest counties, like Clinton County, for one, which is very similar to ours, maybe a little bigger. You have Jefferson County, which is Fairfield. They actually allow the use of them inside the city in Jefferson and Fairfield. So it's going to be up to the people that run these things and operate these things. And it's going to be a little bit of peer pressure, self-regulation. Other folks that are running them out there, you're going to say, don't screw this up for the rest of us. We've worked hard to get this allow us to run these ATVs and UTVs on the road. So I hope there's some peer pressure out there on other folks that would say, don't do that. Because just as quickly as this is put into law, it could be taken away. So we don't want to lose that. And I think it's time for this. It's time for us to try it. And that Jim Carrey has told us many times that what we'd like to do in about a year is address this thing, review it. How is it going? What do we need to change? Is there something we need to do that we don't have in the code? Or is there something in there we need to take out? Whatever. And I think we should commit ourselves to that in a year or sooner, review how this has went. and hopefully we'll all be happy and say, hey, it's working out great. But you're certainly welcome to call me, or I'll stop by and I'll address any concerns that you might have and try to relieve those for you. I'll run down anybody that's causing trouble for you, and we'll take care of that. Sheriff's Office is ready to respond to any issues that we have out there. We're out there 24/7, 365, and we'll respond to any complaints that anybody have in regard to this, and we'll do the best we can, or we can do. If I didn't think we could do that, I would be the first one up here saying, don't do this. But this has been well thought out, and it's probably one of the most comprehensive ATV ordinances you're going to find in the state, I would say. We worked hard at it, so I hope that addresses something, and I'll be happy to talk to you.
Sure, I know you will. Yes, I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Thank anybody you. Else from public have anything to say?
I guess I'm Jeremy Dean. I just kind of want to address her worries about people parking on the side of the road. I think 98% of us that have these things are going to be, if I have friends come over, they'll be pulling into my driveway. We'll take off. We'll go for a nice little joyride. We'll hit restaurants. I mean, it's just, we take ours up to Wisconsin a lot, and it dumps a huge amount of money into the economy up there in that tri-county up there. I'm not saying it's going to dump that kind of money into our county, but it certainly will help with the smaller gas stations in Danville and Minneapolis, restaurants and all those. So I think just people willy-nilly parking on the side of the gravel roads is probably not going to be that big of an issue. And if it is, I think Mike's willing to handle it. So that's just where I'm coming from. We travel all over taking these things with us. We go down to, you know, Van Buren County, we're leaving for Wisconsin on Thursday to go right up there. So these, like Mike said, this is a huge privilege for us to actually be able to do this in our hometown. And I think there's gonna be hiccups, but I think there is hiccups on every law that you start with, and I think it's a great thing for all of us. That's all I got.
Thank you. Anybody else from public have anything to say?
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Terry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Motion to approve the ordinance.
Second.
For the first reading.
First reading. Terry Johnson?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. $78.07 and bank draft $266,003.87 for a total of $1,150,781.94.
Motion to approve. Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Resolution for the final plat of Dodge Port Subdivision. Jared, this would be you.
Well, this one is a pretty obvious in the name of the subdivision that we're dealing with a livestock feeding operation. It's located in Pleasant Grove Township on 162nd Street. It's a subdivision that would result in one lot of just under 6 acres. And basically what's going on here is there's this hog feeding operation that's been in operation for just under a year now, and this would effectively split that operation off from the surrounding farm ground. So Bradley Dodds, who's the operator of the hog feeding operation, resides on a property nearby, and the surrounding farm ground will continue to be owned by other members of the Dodds family. So, somewhat interesting shaped subdivision, looking at the plat there. Without the context of the aerial photo, it's particularly unusual, but if you have that aerial photo, you can clearly see what's going on here. It's basically going right around the edge of the feeding operation, and also including the road accessing it, or the driveway accessing it from 162nd Street. So one thing I think it's interesting is the fact that we had that aerial photo that the GIS loaded on there. It was taken this April, so if we had had the previous aerial photo, you'd just have that weird little shape on top of a random farm field. So it helps having that context. We didn't receive any significant comments from the departmental review. The road entrance is already in place. It's not going to be used for any residential use. So with that, we would recommend approval of Dodds Fork subdivision.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry Johnson.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. You know, when you look at that aerial view, it looks like a big dipper, doesn't it?
Well, I thought it was a spatula.
Perfect ice water.
I thought Carter put in a different driveway. Personnel action. Okay, we have, this is for Renee Wellborn, part-time clerk in the recorder's office. New hire at $14 an hour.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Next one is for public health. It's for, is that Cassie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Aaron.
Cassie and Aaron. New hire, full-time public health nurse, $47,742.33 a year.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
The next one is for the correctional center, Alexis Abney, full-time correctional officer, unpaid leave, 9/4/18 for 8.25 hours.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay, we have reports. General Assistance, August of 2018, and the clerk's report for fees collected for August of 2018. And these will be in the auditor's office on file for your viewing and your discretion. And we have the minutes for the regular meeting on September 11th, 2018.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay. have any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items.
Work session with public health next week.
Okay, committee reports.
I attended a Greater Burlington Partnership meeting this morning, and they had a presentation on opportunity zones. But they had an interesting statistic in the Economic Development Committee. In July, there were 361 individuals in Des Moines County on unemployment benefits. Last July, exactly 1 year ago, there were 1,067 individuals in Des Moines County on unemployment benefits. That's quite a reduction. I attended the Southeast Iowa Link Mental Health and Disability Services Region meeting. We approved a contract revision with Des Moines County as the fiscal agent, so that the auditor's office gets adequately reimbursed for the work they're doing. And we will be able to retroactively approve contract and committal expenses to try to get some of the mental health and disability services provided or paid in a more timely manner. And they voted to allow me to approve those. Then they will approve those retroactively, and I can approve them so that they can go through this board as our payables. And I think I mentioned I was appointed to that Medical Assistance Advisory Council a few weeks ago. I was elected to the executive committee up there, so we'll get to take some of Southeast Iowa's problems up there. We've got a meeting later today, and I talked to Ken and Ryan with the CEO, region CEO, and Bob Bartles about some issues that they'd like mentioned on the agenda, so.
You think they'll listen to you?
Sure, I'd be very many of us there, they might have to listen when I talk.
We hope so, anyway.
They wanted to, since counties are instrumental in creating and funding mental health and disability service system, they wanted somebody with they wanted a county viewpoint, so I ended up there. That's all I got.
How much, do you know, either one of you know offhand how much it costs to run the mental health system in the state of Iowa?
In the state? I don't know.
They just asked for more money for Medicaid, I know that, but I don't know what the total dollars are.
We know there's a whole bunch comes from property taxes, but evidently DHS pumps in a whole bunch more, huh?
Well, federal government pays, depending on whether they're, when they expanded Medicaid, the federal government was going to pay 100% for the additional Medicaid recipients, the expanded population, for 3 years or something like that, and then the state was going to have to pick up 10%, which is a big number. And when they did that, they also stirred up more people that would have been eligible for Medicaid anyway. So Medicaid, it's a huge deal, but somewhere around the federal government, and it depends on the economic condition of the state. But I think it's somewhere under, a little under, between 50% and 60% that Medicaid matches what we put in. I mean, a little over dollar for dollar, I think. They match what the state of Iowa puts into Medicaid. And then property taxes pay for all the counties and the mental health and disability services levy. That money all goes for the metal. That's how the SEAL region's funded, is that money's spent. The state when it regionalized mental health, each mental health region has to have a management plan that outlines the services they provide, and the state has mandated some services, the core services, then there's core plus services, and each region's a little bit different, but those services are all funded by property taxes.
And the state recently increased the amount of core services that we have to fund too.
And
it used to be 40%.
They failed to put in a funding mechanism.
Yes. Used to be the state paid 40%, the federal government paid 60% of the Medicaid-funded individuals, and then there were always non-Medicaid-funded individuals that the county paid for. And then, just as Tom said, I mean, it just gets the laws change, and it gets a little cloudy because we have non-eligibility-based services, eligibility-based services, and a lot going on, but we're really trying to improve services for people is the main thing.
And I think we have.
Yeah, we have.
We provide services now that we didn't used to be able to provide.
Right.
It'd be interesting to listen to that Julie Jenner. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I wondered, she came to the governing board meeting, but she really just mostly asked questions of, do we have any questions of her, and didn't bring a lot of new information, I didn't think. But we'll see what she has for management.
I think your board up there, Tom, it's going to be a lot more responsive to what you say, because there's a smaller group than they.
We go to, there's about 50 people on the council, and then there's about 10 people in the executive committee, but we report to executive, to the director of DHS, and today they've got the director of Medicaid there, so anyway, so you're talking to the right people anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think I wouldn't hope, but there've been a lot of people trying to change. Don't give up.
That's all I've got.
I attended a public health meeting, and we had a meeting here. They explained to us how to not discriminate against
treat people
or neighbors. Kindly. Very interesting. Well, very interesting. And of course, Tammy Stewart. We had said goodbye to her.
She's going to be missed.
Yes, she will.
I had a Russ meeting, and we're just, everything just going pretty good there. It's doing real well. Discussed and considered a MOU with the Wise County Public Health, so we have voted to take that on, and outside of that, everything went real smooth. Then I had Nate judicial meeting. We had a case management presentation by Kurt Rosenberg and Gary. Can't pronounce his name real well. P-E-T-I-Z, Pets. Pets. Anyway, on these people that's on parole, they're starting a new program. They're going to take them and put them in categories 1 through 5. 1 being the lowest to reoffend, and 5 being the highest to offend. Now, the ones that's in category 1, they're going to see maybe once a month for their hour, instead of every week or every other week, because on the survey they've done, there's only a 5% chance of them people reoffending. Category 2, they're going to see them a couple times a month, and their chances of reoffending is 10 to 30%. Category 4 is on a weekly base, category 5 is on a weekly base, 3, 4, and 5 is on a weekly base. Category 3, this really gets interesting. Category 3 is 35 to 40% of them will reoffend. Category 4, 60 to 70% of them will reoffend. And category 5, 85 to 90% of them, they think, will reoffend.
So they should come daily.
They're going to... They're gonna be hitting there a couple times a week, and
put a GPS in their shoe so you can.
And they're also retraining the PO officers. They're gonna get training on this new program they got, because they said you're going down the hall when they're talking to their clients, you know, they're talking about the ball game, who won the ball game, you know, Monday night ball game, look for it. He said, that's not what we're there for. That's not what we're gonna talk about anymore. We're not talking about that stuff. We're not their personal friend. We're trying to help them out, so. So they're gonna be training with the parole officers, and it sounds good, if it works good. They're hoping that they can start moving some of these offenders, as, you know, in a higher rate, the fives and fours, and then eventually move them down a little bit, you know, and get the help they really need.
What brought about the change?
What's that?
What brought about the change?
The reoffenders. That's basically what it was. A lot of them reoffend, Bob. And
so is Dan Fells still the director?
Dan Fells the director, yeah. He's the one that said, you know, it's just disheartening when I walk down the hall and they're in there and you could talking about football games and that. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be a good deal.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, it's a good
deal. I think anytime you improve, yeah. Or try to improve, yeah, good.
That's all I had.
Sounds like a lot.
Public input session number two. Anybody from public have anything to say? Please rise, state your name. Seeing nobody rise, we shall move on for adjournment with an aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. So we're going to take about a 2 minute break. That would be Mike.
Perfect.
And maybe it might turn into five, and then we'll go into work session with you.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. You people don't have to leave. You can stay and listen to Mike.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
I am. I'm going to take notes.
Bucks away.
Hey.
Must be a trial for it. Like, they're all full of you guys. They're going to sign them a trial.
Really?
So,
AM or FAM?
She tries to actually go.
A little different than the usual he is, but I mean, it blows off from the front. Have you seen this one? It basically goes around. You can step back from the road, by the way. So it's got the driveway, and it's like a threshold when it's just a clearly defined break between it and the possible. So you read that description of the survey, and it's all
coffee
points.
I won't be here Thursday because I'll be in the
morning. The cool thing is the fact that we've got the 2018 aerial photo from GIS, which you can actually see it lines up because it's in operation now. Whereas if you had even a year older aerial photo, it would just be a weird shape and a farm field.
All right, thank you.
I did a lot of
back last week.
I think it was a little bit.
yeah, the rolling over is going on. Now we got some crazy thing with poor new gal Cassie's computer.
Eventually.
And then, you know, we have a nice computer,